Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, tasked with the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor, Dag Heward Mills. This Monday's message is all about full-time ministry. There are many Christians who will start out as lay shepherds who eventually end up in full-time ministry. In today's message, Bishop Dag will teach you the importance of knowing when and how to make this great transition. In today's teaching, you will find out the five fundamental preconditions you must fulfill before you enter into full-time ministry. Learn more about the great privilege to be a full-time minister in the house of God from today's blessed word.
Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. Oh, do it better for the Lord. Do it better for the Lord. I can't hear you clapping. I can't hear you shouting. Five people just received a testimony this coming week. If you believe you are part, shout, "Ear." Wow. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 51 verse 11, that the redeemed will return with singing and joy and dancing, and mourning will flee from them, and everlasting joy will be upon their heads. If you are receiving everlasting joy, shout amen. Amen. Whatever causes you to be sad, whatever causes you to be sorrowful, is being taken away in Jesus' mighty name. We're going to hear this wonderful testimony from our brother John, all the way from Malawi, about how God came through for him. Put your hands together for this wonderful testimony.
Hello, my name is John Simwai from First Love, Malawi. My prophecy is about how God provided for me financially for my school fees in the final 4 years of my university. I used to have a lot of difficulties with the payment of school fees, which used to bring a lot of stress, especially when I saw my friends registering for exams and focusing on their studies. That was the time when I used to run up and down trying to get registered. However, there came a point when God intervened in my situation. Way back in 2017, I was an elder on the campus church, and I was listening to a camp by prophet entitled "He That Reapeth Receiveth Wages." And in one of the tracks, prophet said, "If you are a shepherd holding a Bible in your hand, teaching others the word of God, you will never lack school fees." And he continued to say, "The prophecy you believe is the prophecy that will practically happen in your life." And I truly believed this prophecy, and God acted on it. For the past 4 years, I'd been a beneficiary of the government program that supports students with the school fees and upkeep allowances. I know it is the Lord's doing, because not everybody can get this support for 4 consecutive years. I want to thank the Lord for this divine provision, and also for the life of Prophet Bishop Dag Heward Mills, who is caring for us a lot through his prophecies also that are changing our lives. I also want to acknowledge the presence of my pastors way back home, Bishop Isaac Kwesi Wood and Lady Pastor Adeline Wood, who have always encouraged us to serve the Lord, and they always encourage us to listen to the messages of our Father Bishop Dag Heward Mills. And it is through the listening of these messages that I got my breakthrough. I want to encourage each and every student who is in a similar situation like I was before, and indeed every other person who is in a situation that needs the Lord's intervention. I want to encourage them to believe in the Lord and the prophecies of our Father, Bishop Dag Heward Mills. As we believe these prophecies, they will practically happen in our lives. Thank you all, and God bless you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for this great opportunity we have in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated if you have a seat at home. Please sit up. I hope you wear your nice clothes, Sunday best, and expect great things. Amen.
All right. So it's time to give an offering. And the theme for our offering is everything is falling into place in my life. Hallelujah. Everything is falling into place in my life. And no one will ever ask me again, where is your God? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. No one will ever ask you again, where is your God? Amen. Hallelujah. Psalm 79 and verse 10, it says, wherefore should the heathen say, where is their God? Let him be known among the heathen in our sight, by the revenging of the blood of thy servants, which is shed. So nobody is going to be able to ask, where is your God? Because everything is falling into place in your life. The prophecy you believe is the prophecy which will come to pass. Amen. Psalm 42. I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy, as with a sword in my bones? My enemies reproach me while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? So, where is thy God is a question that is in people's heads. Yes, people have it in their heads. And they ask in their heads, where is your God? Amen.
Amen.
Verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Everything is falling into place in your life this year. This year. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Amen.
Amen.
There is hope in your God.
Amen.
Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him. Amen.
Amen.
I want to predict, because to have faith is to predict. You know, one of the best books I ever wrote, I want to tell you, no, I'm not advertising a book, but I just want to tell you to take the book. The chapters are very short. It's Faith Secrets. Yes. You see, if I just open any chapter, I myself am blessed. Yes. For instance, I just opened chapter 8, and it says, faith is to predict. Faith means is to predict. And the verse is, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not, as though they were.
Wow.
Faith is to predict great things.
Wow.
Faith is to declare great things. And faith is to speak great words.
Wow.
Yes. Beautiful.
Beautiful.
That's why I'm saying everything is falling into place in your life this year. And no one will be able to ask, where is your God, the God that you say you are serving? I once heard a pastor prophesying to his congregation, and I thought to myself, how can these things happen? I thought to myself, he's giving them false hopes. But I was wrong. The pastor was walking in faith and creating things in the spirit. Faith is to predict great things. Faith is to speak powerful things into existence. Faith is to speak the greatest and most amazing declarations over the people you are shepherding. Faith is what you say. Faith is to speak what you believe is going to happen as though it had already happened. To speak negatively is to show your lack of faith. I'm reading from my book. Yes, and the scripture is very clear. That calleth the things that be not as though they were, which is to predict things that don't exist. I predict that the pandemic is over.
Amen.
I predict that we are back to church.
Amen.
I predict that you have another chance to serve God. And I predict that everything is falling into place in your life practically. In Jesus' name. Speak positively and call things that are non-existent into existence. The more you speak things of the future into existence by your bold declarations, the more you show yourself to be a man of faith. If you like, go and take this book. You'll be very happy. You'll be happy from all the day long, from the beginning of the book to the end of the book. Faith calls those things that are not as though they were. Faith speaks about the future and declares great things. It is time to declare great things so that you can walk in the faith that God walks in. Declaring your doubts about everything is not faith. Sharing your fears with everyone is not faith. Explaining why things will not work is not faith. Giving us your logical analysis is not faith. It is time to predict great things. It is time to be a faith man. It is time to declare that a good thing is going to happen. It is time to declare those things that are not as though they were. Speak great things into existence. Speak nicely about your marriage. Speak good things about your associates. Say great things about your church. Say great things about your ministry. Say nice things about your children. What you say is what is going to happen. Hallelujah. Are you excited by this little chapter? Wow. Faith is to predict. Kamasota kabayana. Everything is falling into place in your life. Did you understand the word everything? Everything is falling into place in your life. No one will be able to ask you, where is your God? Beautiful. Faith is a very important thing. Keep building your faith. Your faith will really help you. Faith is your secret weapon. Faith comes by hearing. The more you listen to preaching, the more you hear the word, and the more your faith is built up. Keep developing your faith by listening even more to preaching and teaching. Through faith, you will have an international ministry. You are crossing every wall, every barrier, and every limitation. Keep listening to messages. It is your master key to increasing your faith. The more preaching you listen to, the more your life is changing. It is not only when you listen to preaching on the topic of faith that your faith increases. All kinds of preaching increase your faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. Keep listening to powerful preaching messages. Is it fantastic? Yeah. So that's chapter 8. Yeah. It's enough to go home, isn't it? Yeah. So this is the offering. And I'm predicting, I need you to have faith as you plant your seed that everything is falling into place in your life this year. In the name of Jesus. Everything that is out of order is coming into order. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we stand today to take an offering. Something, one of our sheep, one of our goats, one of our lambs, one of our fruits, and present it on your altar with faith. And our prediction is that as we sow this seed, a mighty seed, you will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. And somehow, things that are out of order, and things that are awkward, and things that are strange, and things that we don't want, and things that cannot help us, are all falling off us. And everything is falling into place by this special offering. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Now, I want you to give. I hear the number 50. Something I like to mention, numbers that come to me by inspiration. 50 is the number that is coming to me today. If you want to give a special offering, £50, $50, 50 cedis, 50 naira. I mean, if your currency is weak, it is almost like a whatever. You can make it several 50s, 50,000 or whatever. And also give your tithes as well. If you everything is falling into place, in your life, in your marriage, your home, everything. Faith is to predict. Faith is to predict. Just keep predicting. Keep declaring. Keep predicting great things. And you see them practically happening and coming to pass. And I predict that the pandemic has passed away. I predict that you survived the pandemic. I predict that everything is falling into place. I predict that you are delivered from evil. I predict that every disorder of your life is falling into order. In the name of Jesus. For your life, your future, your marriage, your business, your career. Matako masandalaba. Mando taramandala. Wherever you are in the world, sow your special seed. The house of God will be there before elections and after elections. The church will still be there. Yeah. Some people may lose their job or change position or change whatever. But the church, Jesus said, I will build my church. And the church carries on and on. The church has been there through all the changing scenes of life. Amen. Father, we thank you as we present our offering. Bless everyone that is giving mightily. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. Are you blessed to be in church? Do you feel the power of God in the room? Do you feel the power of God in the room where you are at home? I believe God has a word for us. Are you excited? Is your heart ready? Are you a master receiver? In the name of Jesus, I believe God is with us. The presence of God is here, and we're about to hear the word of God. And I want all of you to put your food down, put your phones, should either be watching the live stream, put your laptops away, and let's get ready to receive the word of God. Amen. So we're going to sing Nothing is Impossible as we receive our prophet and our pastor. I believe that as we sing this song, the Lord is going to bless us. The Lord is going to open our hearts to receive what God has for us. Lift your hand and sing it.
Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God.
At the back, this is why we came.
Nothing is impossible when you're trusting in His love.
Say, hearken to the voice.
The voice of God to me.
This is why you're here.
Is there anything too hard for me? Then put your trust in God alone and rest upon His word. For everything, oh everything, yes, everything is possible.
Did the devil tell you anything was impossible? Then lift your hand and declare over your life, nothing is impossible. Say nothing is impossible.
Nothing is impossible when you're trusting in His word.
Now say, hearken to the voice.
Into the voice of God.
At the back, lift your hands and sing it.
Is there anything too hard for me? Then put your trust in God alone and rest upon His word.
You heard the prophet. Faith is to predict. Predict over your life that everything is possible.
Is possible.
I believe it. Put your hands together. Let's welcome our pastor, Bishop Daghewood Mills. Hallelujah.
Father, thank you for your blessing in this moment. Speak to us and guide us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, today I'm continuing with my theme on what it means to become a shepherd. All right? I don't even need to do that. You got it right there. Okay. What it means to become a shepherd. Amen. Amen. Exodus chapter 19. And in the third month, verse 3, Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you'll be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of millionaires. Sorry, a kingdom of billionaires. Oh, pardon me. A kingdom of businessmen. A kingdom of medical doctors. A kingdom of lawyers. A kingdom of priests. Amen. A kingdom of priests. And an holy nation. And these are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Revelations chapter 1 and verse 6. It continues, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, who has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
So, kings and priests means leaders and priests, leaders of society and priests. So God has blessed us with this great blessing of desiring that we would be a kingdom of priests, shepherds, pastors. And so all of us, if we are open to God, have this great potential. And that his desire is not that we should be a kingdom of billionaires or a kingdom of millionaires, right? But his desire, his purpose, is that we should be a kingdom of priests, and he has made us kings and priests. It's all over the Bible. In 2 Peter as well, he mentions the same things, made us priests and kings to our God. So becoming a shepherd is not something to be said at a private camp meeting where we've just gathered the few serious and zealous Christians who are priestly in their speech and they look like school prefects and more of this type of good-looking people, Awanistic people. You get what I'm saying? Yes. Who, like, they are really like God, they were born with a Bible in their hand and they desire to be priests all their life. You get it? But more of, you know, every one of us should hear this message and believe God that in your life, you will, everything's going to fall into place. And part of falling into place of things is the fact that you are going to become a priest, priestly.
Yes.
A priest is somebody who, you see what the priests wear? The long, you can be a priest without wearing that white thing. Do you see? And a special hat or some special whatever. I personally have never been attracted to those things. It has never been, my desire to dress like that. Because I don't find it convenient apart from everything else. I don't find, like, if you are getting into a taxi, you have to run. Yes. Or if you have to run or for some reason, it's like you have to carry all these things. So whenever I have to wear these things, I'm always looking for the moment where I can just take it off. And as soon as I can take it off, I take it off. You get it? Because sometimes you have to wear all these things. But you can be a priest without wearing these things. But it's the official dress of priests. But God wants all of us to be priests. You can be a priest in your t-shirt. You can be a priest in your normal dress. A normal dress. You can be a beautiful lady bishop in your nice sporting dress. People will be looking at you and say, wow. You know, and they'll be saying, hey, this priest is not easy at all. Priestess. Beautiful. One time I went to a program and I was actually on the stage when they came to tell me that somebody in the government has arrived. The person had a very high position. And the person has come with so many soldiers because the person's job needs soldiers to guard the person everywhere, including such a church function. So the person came. I didn't see when the person came, but I noticed the soldiers. So I knew that the person had come. So I was looking. Who could it be? And I was targeting all kinds of hefty, huge personalities wearing some lace and some other ancient type of things. So eventually when I asked, you know, to just acknowledge the person, I saw, some young, beautiful, it's like somebody's beloved who's a, I said, hey. So you see, you can easily have a certain picture. When you mention certain jobs, you imagine that a person is like this. But then when you see the person, it's like, look, you don't necessarily have to look that way. We have funky priests as well. Yeah. We have young priests. We have our priests who drive motorbikes. Yeah. Yes. We have priests who have do the grace dance. You are a nice priest. In Jesus' name. Amen. So today I'm going to read to us the last chapter. That is all. There are just a few points there, and then we are done. How to become a full-time shepherd, a full-time priest. Okay. I started ministry as a lay shepherd. The idea of full-time ministry came up much later. I started my church as a medical student, and I found myself pastoring while at the same time practicing medicine. Later on, I went into business and combined business activities with pastoral work. It's true. Some of you don't know that I've done business before. At the end of 1990, the Lord told me to leave everything I was doing and enter into full-time ministry. In other words, I must take the priesthood seriously. It was not an easy decision for me. There are many people who are in full-time ministry. And because I've done business before, I know all the businesses that are going to collapse and the ones that are not giving profit. Because I've done it before. And I know a lot of business are just activities. It's like something to do. You get it? Yes. It's easy to see. You can do the calculation and you know how much are they getting from this and from this and from that and the expenses. You know that it's not working. I mean, but it's something to do. There are many people who are in full-time ministry who should not really be there. There are many people whom I believe should find secular jobs. How can a church with 60 members sustain 4 pastors and their families? Yet this is the case for many ministries. Success in the ministry requires both power and wisdom. All right? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. I'm just reading my book to you. All right? You like reading? Yeah. Reading sermons? Yeah. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So Christ is to you wisdom and also power. So if you reject the wisdom part of Christ and you take only the power, then you make a big mistake because Christ is both power and wisdom. And you need power and wisdom. You know, sometimes when you cast out devils, you say, I'm casting out this evil spirit. When you cast it out, if you don't take certain wise steps, the spirit finds a way. Because spirits come from physical things. When the Bible says, give no place to the devil, it's an instruction Paul is giving to human beings. And he's saying, give no place to the devil. That means that there is something physically you can do which gives a place to the devil. There are certain physical things, when you do them, the devil gets access to your life. So the fact that he writes and says, give no place to the devil, it means that there are certain physical things you can do. As soon as you do, it blocks out demons. And there are certain things when you do, it just opens you up to demons. So it's not just a matter of, I've cast it out. I've gone for deliverance in the Achimota forest. And they prayed over me for 3 days and night, and I fasted and I prayed. And you come back, and you are, if you don't take a step of wisdom, that spirit, and it's something you can do. I don't know what it is, but if you see me after church and you ask me, how can I block this particular spirit? I can tell you certain physical things. When you do, it makes it very difficult for the evil spirit to work. For instance, if you have a church, an international church, and you want to block a spirit of racism. Racism is one of the strongholds of the devil. It makes people, you to be judged based on outward appearances. Like human beings judge you. When I look at you and I see something about you, I judge you and say, you are like this, you are like this, you are like this, you are like this, and I don't like this type of things. So one of the things you can do that blocks party spirit and racist spirit is, for instance, if I say, don't speak in any tribal language. The language in our church is English. We've chosen it. That's all. But if you are in London and you are having a church where you are speaking only in Ewe, or you are speaking in Tree partly, and you and your shepherds speak Tree or Ga or Ewe on the side, then you tend to speak English to other people who are from Kenya or from another language, you create openings for the spirit, evil spirits of racism and tribalism and nationalism and other things, for somebody to say, it is a church from Ghana, or it's an African this, or it's a this, that. True. So I'm just saying that these spirits, they come in and then they just wipe things, but there are physical things you can do. So whatever has plagued you, whatever has troubled you, if you want to block it, there is something physically you can do. Okay. If, for instance, through pornography, an evil spirit of lust is affecting you, evil spirit of fornication, evil spirit of adultery, immorality, there are things you can do. It makes it difficult for that spirit to come. It is in the Bible, give no place to the devil. It means there is something you can do. That makes it very open. You open yourself up more to that spirit. All right? So Christ is not only power praying for 3 days a night with fasting at Achimota Forest, but also wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:24. So in the ministry, when you want to come into the ministry, we don't just, you say, God has called me. God has called you. I've got 23 members. And so you are leaving everything, and you are going to hope for 23 members to sustain you through offerings. Okay? We don't only use the power, which is, the power stands for the supernatural call. Yeah. The supernatural summoning, yeah, by God of you. Come to me. I want you for something. We use power and wisdom. Christ is not only power, he is also wisdom. There are many people whose ministries are frustrated because they entered full-time ministry too quickly. In this chapter, I want to share a few steps that I believe will give guidance when it comes to entering full-time ministry. So in other words, I'm talking more about lay people, ordinary people becoming priests and shepherds. Now comes the junction. Will you go into it all out, okay, or full-time? I'm including this chapter because there are many people who will start out as lay shepherds and end up in full-time ministry. It is important to know when and how to make this transition. Amen. It's important to know when and how to make this transition. I believe in full-time ministry. I consider it to be a privilege to be a full-time minister. I have always loved the ministry and thank God that I can now serve Him with 100% of my time. If I had entered full-time ministry even 1 year earlier than I did, the results might have been very different. Because if I had entered 1 year earlier, I would have not done my housemanship. If I had entered 2 years earlier, I would not have become a medical doctor. What I'm presenting in this chapter are not hard and fast rules about the ministry. They are just guiding principles of wisdom to help you into full-time ministry. There are five fundamental preconditions I believe you must fulfill before you enter into full-time ministry. Five conditions before you take ministry all out to its logical conclusion. And there are many people God has called you to go all out in the ministry. And when you doodle and dawdle at the mouth of the thing, but not actually going in to what you are supposed to go into, your life soon becomes irrelevant. You become irrelevant because you're supposed to have moved on. God is moving on. God is moving on. There are times you're supposed to be on the mission field. Yes. And if you are not there, I mean, you may be listening and you may be out there, but there's a time to move on. God is always moving on. There are always decisions. In our church, I tell you, 18 months, 15 months, there will be another major change. That is how it is. There's always major changes. You can write it down and you can see. You know, one time I was listening to Bishop Oyedepo. He was saying something. He said many years ago when Idahosa was alive, he said he was in Benin City with him. And he was driving by. They drove by a house. And he said to Bishop Oyedepo, "Do you see this house?" He said, "This house, it was the greatest house in Benin City." He said the owner of the house used to live in London and built this house here. He said the man used to come from London and come to stand on the veranda of the house and wave to everybody who was passing, by. Are you listening to me? Yes. And he said, Idahosa told him that, now this house, he said, even if a road was made in front of the house, it will not be an important house in this city. Yes. Because it has become nothing compared to all the things that have gone on. Because staying in one spot as you are with your veranda, and it was a major house in those days, but it is not a major house now. So when the time comes for you to move on, but rather you are standing on the same veranda and thinking that it's as it was, things are passing, the world is moving at top speed. And when you come to the world, you realize that things have moved on and you should have moved on, but you didn't move on. You didn't move on. You kept doodling and dawdling. There are words, you can check it out. Doodling and dawdling. Just around the mouth of the river, saying, "Will I go in? Will I not go in?" You become like that man who came from London to stand on the veranda of the house. He said it was a single house. It wasn't even after. And he was so proud of the house. It was the main house in Benin City. And he was saying this to explain how you need to keep moving on in ministry. May you move on and may things fall into place in your life and in the ministry. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, number one, these are the conditions for you to step forward into full-time ministry. Number one, you must have a special call to sacrifice your Isaac. Amen. You know the story. Abraham stretched forth his hand in verse 12 and took the knife to slay his son. Okay? All right? Now, but let's read from verse 1, Genesis 12, 22, verse 1. It says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Many of the things in your lives are tests. I prophesy, I'm speaking to you prophetically. Many things you are going through, they are tests. You don't know. I've seen many things. If you sit down with me privately, I can sit down and give you 22 experiences that I've had. All of them were tests. Later, I found out that, oh, so it wasn't a real thing. It was a test. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. He said, take your son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, an old man, go and climb a mountain. You see, all this show, there's no future for a lazy man in the house of God. You can write it down. I said, there is no future for a lazy man in the house of God. There's no future. There is no future for a lazy man in the house of God. An elderly man, 90 years old, go and climb a mountain. Some of you, 30-something years old, you can't even climb a mountain. There's no future for a lazy man in the house of God. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, clave the wood, and rose up. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place far off. And Abraham said to the young men, stay here with the ass, I and the lad, because he didn't want... You see, all those were the tests. If he had taken the young man, when he took the knife to kill his son, people had thought that he's suffering from dementia. Because he's so old that he's taking the knife, that he's forgotten the difference between a sheep and his son. They would have thought that he's suffering from Alzheimer's disease, where you don't recognize things. If you've ever met somebody who's struggling with a memory, you know, you see the person will call her son her husband. The person will call some, a lady will call, he'll call the person your auntie or something else, but it's not, because the person cannot know the difference. So as he's taking the knife, he said, oh, this is a sheep. The boy should have said, oh no, it's your son. Wow. So he left the two of them. And he said, the lad and I are going. And Abraham took the wood of the offering and laid it upon his son Isaac and took the fire in his hand. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, here am I. He said, behold the fire, but where is the lamb? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Here you learn how not to tell lies. Do you see? He didn't want to tell him, you are the sacrifice. And he didn't want to say a lie that, oh, they are bringing it. You see, they are bringing it. I've told them to bring it tomorrow morning. Do you see? He said, God will provide. God will provide. So learn how not to tell lies. You get what I'm saying? When you are doing spiritual things and all the time. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide. And they came to the place and he built an altar and laid the wood. And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham. And he said, lay not your hand upon the lad. For now I know. Now what? So it is there are God that things that God doesn't know. And God is not sure till he passes you through a test. And then when you manifest, then you say, now I know. Now I know how you are. Now I know what you are like. Now I know. Even God is saying, now I know. Even God is saying what? Now I know. So it means God doesn't know. Yes. And he wants you to also know how you are. Like. Amazing. Ask your neighbor, what are you like? And we don't know what is in us. Sometimes it is when you marry or when life passes by, certain things happen. Then you begin to know how you are like. Yeah. In this story, God spoke to Abraham and asked him to give up his most treasured possession, his son. Some people have the mistaken view that God asked everyone to sacrifice their Isaac. Listen carefully. God did not ask Joseph to sacrifice his sons. Neither did he ask Jacob or Isaac to sacrifice their sons. King David was a man after God's own heart, but God did not ask him to sacrifice his son. God deals with everyone differently. Amen. So what God requires of me may be different from what God will require of you. God has asked me for my profession. Perhaps God will not ask you for your profession. I believe that before you enter full-time ministry, you must have a definite call to give up your treasured secular job at that bank or in that profession or in as a teacher in that school. This is different from the call to follow God. God spoke to Abraham and directed him on many occasions. That was a call to follow, and Abraham was faithful to follow each time. Amen. Amen. And the Lord said to Abraham, follow me, go here. But at a point, God said to him, kill your Isaac. Arise and walk through the land. You see examples. God telling Abraham, go here, come here, go here. Always Abraham was following. Now there comes a call, sacrifice this thing. And God wants to see whether you will sacrifice it. That's different. Amen. Amen. That's different. Now, then came a special call to give up Isaac. God may call you to follow him, but that call to give up Isaac may never come. It is an entirely different thing. Everyone must obey God on an individual basis. I am not you and you are not me. What has worked for me may not work for you. What works for you may not work for me. If God is in it, it will work and there will be a blessing. So make sure that you have a definite call to give up your Isaac before you do so. Amen. Amen. Yes. Make sure. And that is why sometimes when people come to ministry, I still let them go to school. I have many people that have come into the ministry full time. I say, go to school. Continue. Do this, do this, do this. I have people that have paid their fees. Continue to do this, do this. Do this. Because I don't know. Maybe they are not called to give up all those things. You understand? So in the end, if maybe they are not going to be in full-time ministry, they have a profession or they have something to do. Yeah. I've done it for many people. They can testify. Yes. So the call to give up your Isaac, very, very important. You know, when you don't fully get to a certain place, I found more difficulty with people who don't finish their school. It's almost like long before they even get an Isaac, they say, I don't even want Isaac. Oh, no, I am okay without Isaac. I just want to serve the Lord. You get what I'm saying? Yes. I don't want to give any Isaac. I don't need Isaac. You see, I'm okay without Isaacs. Yeah. But I need you to finish school. Finish everything that you are supposed to do. Don't come and start saying, I'm giving up whatever and so on, when you have not been called to do so. And there's even no Isaac. You are yet to develop at Isaac. Because you need to give birth to Isaac before Isaac exists. Wow. All the time God was calling Abraham, go here, come here. There was no Isaac. It was at a point that he had an Isaac. Are you there? Yes. When I became a doctor on the 10th of March in 1989, now I had something that I could give up. Because then with my career, I had doors opening to me all over the world. And I knew the salaries of what I was going to earn. I will get this, I'll get this, I'll get this, I'll get this. Wow, you mentioned dollar, plenty dollar. Plenty. I'll be this, I'll be this, I'll be this, I'll be that. Like by now, you see, I'll be in the operating theater if I will still be alive. I'll be in the operating theater operating on hearts. Yeah, I would have done a cardiothoracic surgery or something complex. Yes. I wouldn't know any of you. And you also wouldn't know me. Yes. Yeah. So, make sure you get your Isaac and make sure that God has called you to give it up. And we do it in maturity. Amen. Do what you are supposed to do. Amen. Amen. Now, number two, second condition. You must demonstrate faithfulness in handling few things. He that is faithful in that which is least, Luke 16 verse 10, is also faithful in much. The Bible teaches us clearly that faithful in little will mean faithful with much. If somebody is not faithful with a little responsibility, how will he be faithful when he is in full-time ministry? Many people are not doing well in full-time ministry because they did not do well as lay people. You didn't do well as a lay person. You didn't do well as a student. That's why you are not doing well in the ministry. Because when you were in school, you didn't do the ministry well. Yeah, what can we say about your school days? What can we say when you were in school? What can we say about you now that you have a job at this place and that place? What do you do for ministry? Do you make any sacrifices? That is why when you come into full-time ministry, you are not doing well. Because you don't do well as a lay person. If you don't fight immorality as a student, do you think that when you get married and you are stuck with one person, you will be able to fight it? Not likely. So you must demonstrate faithfulness in few things. Few things. Amen. Amen. I worked for the Lord for years without supervision. I did not need anybody to tell me to get up and pray or to study my Bible. I was faithful with Scripture Union Fellowships whilst I was in secondary school. I was faithful as an organist in Calvary Road Incorporated singing group. I was faithful as a drummer and pianist for Victory Church in London. I was faithful with the fellowships in the university. It never once crossed my mind that I should be paid. No one ever told me what to do. I just did what I thought was right, and God blessed it. When I look back in my life, when in 1980, I spent 1 year in London. I was in a church called Victory Church. I helped to buy the first drums, organ, and everything in the church. We set it up and I played. I played piano. There was a grand piano. I would play grand piano for church and drums. I became the drummer of the church. I was very faithful for the pastor to call me and ask me if he wants me to come and work with him full time. And I told him no, I was a student. I was going back to Ghana because President Rawlings had closed down the universities for 1 year. Sometimes you have to take hard decisions. Yes. So I explained to him I'm going back. I was so faithful. Faithful with few things. They saw me. He saw me and identified me and invited me to his office. I was wondering, what have I done? I had to come during the week. I had to come to see the pastor. His office was upstairs. I remember going upstairs to sit in the office with only him. And he said, you know, this, I have been praying and I've been thinking, I would like you to come and work with me. And I want to train you as a pastor to work, to be with me. Yeah, because I was so faithful in the small, this thing that I was doing. Beautiful. And what about you? What about you? You said you want to go on a mission. Can we even find 5 souls that their life, they are changed because of you? Yes, you appear for evangelism. When you go on a mission field and you are on an island somewhere, how will souls be won? By sitting in your house and watching Netflix? By watching series of videos and programs? Do you think people get saved by osmosis? There's Netflix over there as well. So, the little few things that you have to do as a lay person. When I was in the university, I belonged to the fellowship, Calvary Road. That is the group I went to meet. I was a full member. Doing everything. When I was in secondary school, you'll find me there. Scripture Union. I was one of the leaders, even without appointment. Nobody told me to get up and pray. That is why when you come into full-time ministry, you don't do well. Because whatever you do with the little, you'll be faithful with the much. It never occurred to me. It never crossed my mind about money. And you as a lay person, it's occurring to you about money that you are spending. By all means, when you come into full-time ministry, you see that you'll be thinking of money all the time. You can never work for God well when you are thinking a lot about money. Yes. How faithful are you with the little things and the few things? You are in London and you say, I'm going on a mission to Thailand. You're going to Cambodia. You might as well plan to go to the moon to do evangelism on the moon. Because there's nobody to win there. Because even in that state, what do you do? During this pandemic, what have you done? Yes. Here we are. We have Wasentes, and everything fully in operation. The last time we check our account, we have a way of counting. We had 6,800 people attending church in Accra. Within Accra. I'm talking of in the pandemic. We are working. Are you part of the workforce? Or you are part of the Netflix community? Look at how I am working in the pandemic. Sunday, I'm here preaching. I'm here Tuesday. And because I'm there Tuesday, Monday is not normal. Monday is not normal because do you know that Tuesday comes very quickly? Have you noticed? If you are part of the prayer meeting, Sunday, we can leave in the morning. Yes, it ends on Monday. And then when I'm leaving the studio, it's getting to Tuesday. Yes. When I'm sitting there on Monday, Tuesday, I can see that Tuesday, when I count the hours, I say 6 hours to Tuesday. And then they are only left with two normal days, Wednesday and Thursday, then Friday. And I'm there 6 hours. It is, although we are saying it's a prayer meeting, it's like a mixture of prayer and preaching. Yes. Yes. Prayer and teaching. Yes. All through. Tuesday, Wednesday, it's like I've been having camps, 6 hour camps. Every Tuesday, every Friday, 6 hour camp, 6 hour camp, 6 hour camp. And Sunday too, like I'm doing now. That's my pandemic work. What is your pandemic work? What are you doing for God inside the pandemic? So we are waiting for the pandemic. When the pandemic is gone, we shall really serve God. So when you are faithful with little, you become faithful with much. And so for me, I tell you, there are some of my lay pastors here. Do you know how I look at them? I look at them like a hungry lion who is looking at buffaloes and is licking his lips. The lay pastors. Some of the lay pastors here, they are so good. I see them as some of them, they are like bishops. They are like popes. They love God. They love the ministry. They love the sheep. They have good lives, good marriages. They don't have immorality. They don't have a lot of problems. They are church planters. But they don't want to be full time. So I look at them with longing. I'm like a lion. If only this man would be, how the church would be good. You see, one day somebody saw me holding a crusade with a political party. And he asked, if we can get this man into our party. Look at the crowd that he has organized. Because my crowds are bigger than all the political crowds. Bigger than all. During campaign, we have had crusades during campaign. When our crusade comes on, I'm talking of Ghana. Ghana politics. Thousands. 80,000, 100,000, they'll be there. When the politicians come, you see 500 people. And they'll all be saying that, hey, it's more than whatever. Yeah, so they were looking at me, licking their lips. If we can get this man to come and organize. One time, some of the politicians came to Independence Square and then they asked somebody, how much do you pay the people to come? Like, how much do we pay everybody? As they saw the 100,000 people that they were saying, how much did we pay them? How can we pay the members to come to church? But you see, I think the politicians, I don't know if they pay. some of the people. Yeah. Hey, delegates. But I tell you, I look at many of the lay pastors. I say, hey, if this man, principal man, he has been able to work in his organization, he has risen from this to this to this, very conscientious. Here is his family, here are his children. Everything is organized. Good man, A1 man, hey, nice family. But God, but all that, so no. So, Bishop, you know, we are with you. Keep preaching. Oh! I'm a Ben and B partner. You just keep preaching. We support from the back. We support from the background. When I drove through Uganda, I saw the cities with meaty towns. Meaty. We call them meaty towns. Everybody say meaty towns. You see meaty towns. Nobody, no pastor, no church. And the A1 good lay pastors, they don't want to. They are faithful with few things, but to take a step, they are like that man at Benin City, that Archbishop Idahosa was saying, this man used to stand on his veranda. He said, this is the main time, wave at the people as they are passing by. I see you becoming faithful. Amen. Number three, there are only 5 points. So, a ministry that needs a full-time pastor. Not every ministry needs a full-time pastor. Most of our churches are pastored by unpaid pastors. Jesus pays them directly. If there are only 25 people in church, it's obvious that it cannot sustain a full-time minister. Many of the church members secretly ask, what does the full-time pastor do all day? Many people think that the pastor sleeps from morning to evening. The fact is that there isn't much to do with a congregation of 30. The ministry has to develop to a point where it needs a full-time worker. The other reality that you have to face is that most of the members are working during the day and are available only in the evenings. Pastors are not bankers, accountants, or pharmacists. They are shepherds who are supposed to look after the sheep. The working hours are different for different professions. I do not work from 9 to 5 every day because I am not an accountant. I am a pastor. When the sheep become available in the evenings, I become very active. There are some pastors who have become idle and lazy as they wait for Sunday when they can deliver their next sermon. Look at the verse, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all. Working what? Not at all. They don't work at all. Working not at all. Let's be honest. Let's be realistic. Does your church need so many full-time pastors? Does it even need one full-time pastor as you are on the mission? Can the income of the church sustain the pastor and his family? Can the pastor not find a secular job to do? Pastors are frustrated and are fearful because they are not sure whether they will be able to survive until the next month. Let that frustration die today. Get a job and pastor the church on the side until it grows and demands your full attention. You see, my ministry demands my attention. Yes, it demands my whole life, even more than 7 days a week. Until you have a ministry that demands attention, you see that it's calling for you. Because if you are doing visitation, you see that you visited all the 20 members on Tuesday alone. Tuesday night. Yes. You finish all. And then what are you going to do again? You can't keep visiting them. They will think you are hungry when you go there. The Swiss missionaries who were sent to Ghana many years ago were sent as self-sustaining ministers. They came equipped with skills that would enable them to work in Africa as they did their ministry work. That is a good example to follow. We need self-sustaining ministers today more than ever before. Most churches cannot bear the burden of maintaining so many full-time pastors. I purposely keep my full-time ministry staff as small as possible. I want to pay people properly. I don't want idle and discontented people around me. Idleness leads to laziness, and laziness leads to discontentment, and discontentment leads to disloyalty. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13. And without, they learn to be idle. They learn what? To be idle. You can make people learn idleness. Many people who work in government offices have learned certain traits. I don't want to say what they've learned, but they've learned certain things. And sometimes it's not easy for them to work in an organization like ours. Because the government is quite different from a private thing. They learn to be idle. They learn what? To be idle. Wandering about from house to house. And not only idle. You see, it changes from idle to but tactless. Also, and busybodies. You see, tactless, discontent, talking. And busybody, complaining, speaking things which they ought not. It's in the Bible. Directly. And I'm reading straight out of my book what it means to be a shepherd. To become a shepherd. Alright? So, very important. We need a ministry that needs a full-time pastor. When the Swiss missionaries came, they are some of the greatest apostles. The biggest church in Ghana, the biggest church in Ghana is the Presbyterian Church, I believe. I think it has, or is it the Church of Pentecost? The Church of Pentecost. And then the second is the Presbyterian Church. So those Swiss guys who came, those Swiss guys who came, and Germans, when you go to Equapim Mountains in Ghana, you see the church is Presbyterian. They were the first missionaries in Ghana, Presbyterian, Swiss. They are the greatest apostles Ghana has ever experienced. They are the great because their fruits are sitting here everywhere. Yes, their fruits are everywhere. These are the greatest apostles that ever stepped foot on the shores of Ghana. Their work is there. It's not by marvel. Fruits are speaking for people. So maybe they didn't even speak in tongues. Because Christ is not only power, but wisdom. But Presbyterian, I don't think, is so known for speaking in tongues. I don't know if they speak in tongues. Look at their fruits, eh? Beautiful. Big apostles. Heavy duty apostles. What are the names of the people in the museum? Andreas Rees, Christala, the guys in the Zimmerman, he translated the Ghan Proverbs. And Chi was who? Zimmerman is Ghan. And one of them translated all the languages, Chi. Yeah. Beautiful. These are the great apostles of Ghana. You see them, carpenters. One of them was called Osiandai, that somebody who built. He was a builder. Wow. Which one was that? Andreas Rees. He was called a builder because he builds with wood, practically. You see, when a servant becomes a leader, he never does anything practically because he feels like he's gone up. That's why there are certain countries, if you go, you see that the light is not working. Or the escalator is not working, or water is not running. By all means, it's a person from a certain country. Can you think of any such countries? You can mention about 17 countries like that. By all means, the water is not working, the light is not on, something is not working, the grass is not... Because such people become leaders, they feel that in their mind, I have gone up like a helicopter has taken me up. So those things are below me. And they never roll up their sleeves and practically do something themselves. But when the white man came here, he rolled up his sleeve practically and he built. Beautifully. Yeah. That's why I don't want to mention. I can mention 17. Mention 17 countries in your head. Mention 17 countries in your head. He's either from here or he's from here or he's from here. Start from N, from G, from S, from C, from L, from S, from T. It must be from one of those. That's why the light is not working. Yes. I mean, the police car doesn't work. The radio doesn't work. The phone doesn't work. I mean, if you call emergency, you have to ring several numbers because the person that has no, it's not practical. That's why in a country where you ring 911 or 999, something will happen. But in other countries, you must ring 09946 through 21192. And they put you on hold. And then after it will go off and see that it doesn't work. Practical things, no way. But the white man, when he came to Ghana as a missionary in 1847, he came to build and with skills. So instead of despising them, learn from them. That is what we are not like. Yeah. That's what are the practical things and we don't want to do it. When it's something practical, it's grass, no. Grass, I should make grass. No, I should do, no. Green grass, when you see a lot of green grass and a beautiful garden, you immediately think of certain countries, such as what? Mention some of the countries in your name, in your head, and such places. It's almost like they say it's out of this world. It's not part of, but certain countries, what will you see? Bushes and other, whatever. Stones and paper blocks and rubbish. So when they came as missionaries, they came with their rolled up sleeves. This one came, he's building. This one says, this language is not below me, I can learn it. Yeah. But there are certain people, when you send them, it's like the language is above you. You see them after 7 years. Have you learned the language? They say, oh no. But somebody has come to this country and translated the proverbs, translated the language into that language. It's like it's a good enough language to learn. They translated the Bible into so many languages in Ghana and Nigeria. But you send a missionary. One time I went to Burkina Faso and there was a missionary there. So I asked him what language he speaks in, preaches and so on. He said he preaches in English. So I told him, oh, I want you to start preaching in Japanese from next about 2 weeks, 3 weeks, try Japanese and all. He said, yes, Bishop. He didn't even understand. What I was trying to tell him was that what is the use of preaching in Japanese in a French country? You have been in a French-speaking country for 10 years and you are speaking English. Will the church grow? It will not grow. But we are above it. We are what? Above it. So, God sends people who have power and wisdom. Amen. And we must be people, all right, who are needed and who are humble, practical people. Oh, we are the reason for our own state. Yeah. We are the reason for our own state. We are completely confused. And that's why God is trying to turn us into priests. Practical priests who can wear t-shirts and can fix everything and not say it's below me. It's not below you. To fix a light. To you come to Kotoka Airport and by all means, either the K is not where the light, either the K is off or the O is off. So it says Toko, Toko, Toka. Is it not true? Yes. It's like you always know the type of country from the things as you arrive there. It's amazing. From today, you'll be faithful in few things. Amen. And if you are not needed as a full-time person, you are going to do it. Number four, a death to the love for silver. Amen. A death to the love for silver. All right? Now, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. A ministry is not an alternative source of employment for anyone. It was never intended to be. Ministry is a special job which gives to those he has called, God has called. As the church becomes larger, it often deteriorates into a source of employment for the unemployed. I'll say it again because it's bold in the book. As the church what? Becomes larger, it often deteriorates into a source of employment for the unemployed. People who want jobs after school. Oh, I'll go to work in the church because there's no job out there. Ghana has a group called Association of Unemployed Graduates. There are all sorts of associations. Recently, I saw a new association that has been formed. Association for the Right to Breathe. Those who don't want to wear masks. They say that we are the Association for the Right to Breathe. That's all. We can't wear masks. Please, if you are lacking a job, don't think of the church. If you need a job, don't think of the church. You spoil the church. Do your masters. Find something to do. Ministry is ministry. This attracts many people who have no calling at all. What then happens to the church? It becomes full of seekers of wealth and lovers of silver. These pastors who are seeking for gold end up always fighting for better salaries and better conditions of service. Many pastors see the ministry as a way to travel around the world and to drive nice cars. I did not enter the ministry to drive around a nice car. I did not come into the ministry because I wanted to have the nice things of the world. Actually, are you listening?
Yes.
I can underline it. Actually, coming into full-time ministry was for me the end of all hopes of ever having the nice things in this world. That was what it meant to me. I knew that that's the end. Yes. Jeremy, that was the end. I said, this is the end of all nice things. I'll never have a house. I'll never have a car. I'll never travel. In fact, I remember when I was taking my last trip because I was working somewhere and I was just leaving and I said, this is the last trip of my life. I'll never fly again. I came off the plane and I came and that's it. I've settled. I'll be in Ghana forever. I'll only look at pictures of places abroad. Beautiful. I gave it all up to walk with him. Amen. What have you given up to walk with him? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. Amen. A minister who is going to serve God properly must have died to the love for silver and gold. Why is this? Because the Bible teaches that those that love silver are never satisfied. They are never satisfied with silver and they are never satisfied. One day we had a meeting, you know, some of the bishops and somebody was being transferred. And we were trying to decide where the person should go. Every bishop at that particular council meeting, when the person's name was brought up, this pastor should go here. The person said, no, I don't want him in my council. Why? So, no, it's too troublesome. Money, every time there's some discussion about money. Then, what about that? Another one? No, at all. I don't like him. Then another meeting. So, no, we don't want him. Everybody rejected him. And the basis was, he likes money, discussions, meetings. Always there will be something about money. About this particular guy. It was a pity. I was surprised. In the end, I had to use authority. Do you understand authority?
Authority.
I used authority. And I said to one of the bishops that, you receive him.
Take it one.
Take it one. And he couldn't say anything again. He had to receive him. And he did exactly as all of them thought. As soon as he came, he started trouble, money, this, that. Amazing. He that loveth silver will never be satisfied. Not that he will never be satisfied with silver. Just end the scripture at he will never be satisfied.
Wow.
Yes. End the scripture at he will never be satisfied. And see what it says. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied. He's never okay. You can give more and more. He will never be okay. It's never enough. It's never good enough. You can give the best. It's never enough. One day I visited a pastor and he was telling me he was going to take a decision to move somebody and he was thinking of giving something up, giving, you know, one of his churches or something. He said, I want to give this. Then he said, no, he has done it before. And the person he did it for was not grateful and rather insulted him, saying so many things over the years. He said he regrets giving. And when he said, I said, I understand. People who are somewhere, no matter what you give them and what you do for them, they are never okay. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied. Look at it. Beautiful. You are never happy. Thank God if you ever have people who work for you and they are okay. And so thank you for this is a blessing. This is a blessing. This is a blessing. And they count their blessings. As we are here breathing air, we thank God. We never knew what is a pandemic. As we are in church, we didn't know that it was a great thing. Yes. We didn't know that to be close to somebody and to even hug somebody and breathe in the blood. That is it's a good thing. Till it has been taken away from us. Now we are sitting here praying for vaccines. We can't lay hands. Is it because such people are poor that they always never satisfied? No. Is it because they are in need? No. It is because of the greed for more and more. I have found that you cannot satisfy people with more and more money. From experience, whenever I felt under pressure to raise salaries, to give money, I've often discovered that it does not solve the root of the problem. Senior pastors, if you feel under pressure to raise salaries and give more and more benefits, you will discover that the problem never goes away. I believe that full-time ministers must be people who just want to serve the Lord at heart. Amen. Amen. This does not mean that people will be poor, but it means that the heart is not craving endlessly after more. Soon the church becomes unionized with workers against management and management against workers. And the management are often senior pastors who make decisions, and the workers are other pastors who are not involved in decision making. And there is much bitterness, petty jealousy, bickering among full-time staff of many churches. I would rather have one or two workers with peace than to have 100 discontented full-time staff and missionaries. Are you there? So what God is telling us is that, hey, if you like money, pa, you get it, I'll show you how to get a job, and even through my connections, I'll get a job for you. Don't bring it to church. Don't bring it to full-time ministry. You destroy yourself and you destroy the ministry. The ministry is not for that. Over the years, I've worked Bishop Saki, Bishop Eddie. I've never quarreled with money. Have I given you this? There's nothing like I've not experienced it by the grace of God. I've not experienced it. But when you meet people that are that way, it's an unfortunate thing. So, brothers and sisters, let us ask ourselves, are you okay with it? Please let me get you a job at a bank. You will drive a Lexus. You will drive a what? Citroen. You will drive a what? BMW. You drive a what? Nissan. Porsche, Nissan, everything you want. You have it. Don't bring those things here. Okay? Okay? Yeah, because once this is what your desires, it will never be okay. Don't deceive young man and say, I'll marry you, I'll go to the ends of the world with you, when the only place you want to go with him is what? Canada. What are you doing here in Jerusalem? And is it like you've taken a person to Canada? That was the only place you wanted to go. That's where your dreams were. That's where your heart is. Are you listening to me? All right. So, love for money, no good. Look at 1 Timothy 6 quickly. 1 Timothy. We are ending. We are coming to the last point. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm going to show you 10 problems, but it's all in one verse. They that will be rich, or those that have a desire to be rich. 1 Timothy 6 verse 9. Look at the problems they have. You know, having a desire to be rich is not what you need. I won't even advise you against it. They fall into temptation. Look at 10 problems. Can you see them? Number one, temptations. Number two, snares. A trap. There are many traps for people who want money. Are you looking at 10 problems? Number three, into foolish lusts, foolish desires. That's number three, foolishness. Number four, hateful lusts. Are you seeing 10 problems? Hateful lusts. Beautiful. So you get hurt when you really desire, man. You get hurt. Number five, drowning. You drown. You get waterboarding. You drown. It really affects you. Drowning, number five. Yes. You almost died because of money. Drowning. Number six, distraction. Destroyed. Your whole life, your whole ministry destroyed. If I was following money, my whole ministry would be destroyed. Would I be following when I come to First Love Church when I left all the millionaires and people who have even aeroplanes? I leave them at the Kodesh and I come to stay with students in the classroom. Am I following money? People will be sending me texts. I'm using my friend's phone. Then they send texts. They said, this is George sending from Kofi's phone. Saying hi from Kofi's phone. Then Kofi takes the photo. It's now Kofi back on there. I'm the owner. I'm the owner and I'm using my phone. Beautiful. These are my members. Number six is what? Distraction. Number seven, perdition. Yes. Number eight, the root of all evil. Have you seen it? Yes. You get now the foundations of evil. When you like money, the foundations of evil are with you. And if you like, look, almost every problem, I want everybody here to look in your life and see every problem you have had, you will see that there's a connection to money. You may not have seen the connection. You may not have seen the connection, but there is a connection to money. Yes. Marital problems, crisis, tragedies, many things. There are connections to the love of money. Watch it and see. If you think how you trace it and you see that money somewhere and the desire for money, the need for money is there. Number eight, nine, error. They have erred from the faith. Error. You are error prone. You are error prone. You are error prone when you are in interest of money. You are error prone. Yes. You're as a doctor, it's money. You are error prone. That's why people are challenging this hydroxychloroquine and the vaccines and things, because they suspect some money, something somewhere. Yeah. Yeah. But if you look at the trend, you see the countries which are using hydroxychloroquine and the countries which are not. And you see the countries which are not very high. America, 1,000 die a day. It's amazing. I met a brother yesterday. He said, when I take the communion, then I take the hydroxychloroquine. Oh, beautiful. I said, beautiful. Yes. Power and wisdom. Power and wisdom. So when I swallow the communion, then I follow with the hydroxy. It has not done any harm to me. Beautiful. When you take your communion, then follow with the hydroxy and just be moving. What will you do? What you'll do? What you'll do? Yeah. What answer do you have? What defense do you have against this thing? Just take the thing and flow. Yes. That's number nine. And number 10, piercing with sorrows. No, piercing is piercing. You get pierced. Pierced. Chook, chook. You are chook. You know, when I was in school, there was a guy who used to torture me. Yes. When he catches me, maybe I'm not in bed, after lights out, he would say, chook my eye. Yes. He would say what? Chook my eye. So that he can't see. Pierce my eye. And what he meant, I should pierce his eye with a tin of milk. If I give him a tin of milk, his eyes will close and he won't see that I'm standing there anymore. Yes. No. Chook my eye. Then I won't see you standing here after lights out. Chook my eye. So when you love money, you have your eyes chooked. And you can't see well. You are blinded. You follow the wrong people. You follow the wrong person. You follow things you shouldn't follow. You are interested in things you shouldn't be interested in. Because your eyes are pierced. Took my eye. And I'll bring one tin of milk. Then his eyes will close and I walk free. Number 11. Sorrows. Sorrows. So I would advise you, even if you are not in full-time ministry, don't be a lover of money. Look at it. 10 problems, 11 problems, it became even 11. That follow you when you love money. And that's why the Bible says that he that loveth silver, not good. And such a person, you know, it's not a good thing. One of my bishops, you know, years ago, he was not a bishop. He came to visit me in the office. And he sat down. He was talking. Then he said, I love money. I love what? Money. Hey, when he said, I was shocked. I always remember in Collegono, he said, I love money. See, but later he changed. And the love for money went away. That's why he's a bishop. He's on a mission field beautifully. It's working well. Yeah. So your eyes will not be choked anymore with money. Took my eye. Sorrows. Temptations, snares, foolish lusts, hurtful lusts, drowning, destruction, perdition, the root of all evil in your life, error, piercing, and sorrows. Piercings, chokings, and sorrows. This is what comes to people who love money. So when you have, whether it's political, whether it's medical, whether it's lawyers, whether it's ministry, anything, this love for money is a very dangerous characteristic. When you notice it in someone, say, please, resign now. Go and find money. When you get it, you come. Okay? Finally, point number 5. A total surrender for all possibilities. Show us the points quickly. You see, 5 preconditions for full-time ministry. A special call to sacrifice your Isaac. Number 2, you must demonstrate faithfulness in handling a few things. Number 3, we need a ministry that needs a full-time pastor. Like the Swiss missionaries, when they came to Ghana, do you see, they didn't need a full-time minister. Today, I know the head of the Presbyterian Church. He's my friend. He's a full-time, because the Presbyterian Church is so big. It covers the whole country. You need a full-time person. But when they came, they needed carpenters and masons to build the church practically. But it grows and it becomes something that now needs a full-time pastor. Number 4, a death to the love of silver. So that you'll be happy. And if you come close to full-time, those of us in the full-time ministry, you'll notice that people are happy. It's one of the things you know that everybody is happy. It's like nobody seems to be unhappy about anything. Mostly. And number 5, a total surrender for all possibilities. Amen. Now, as you enter full-time ministry, you must be open for whatever the future will bring. You may be rich or you may be poor. You may have abundance or you may have live in the want of all things. Are you ready for that? John 21, verse 18 and verse 19. Verily I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither where thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, you see, maturity, you stretch forth your hands and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. So you see right there that maturity makes you allow yourself to be yielded to whatever is asked of you. But it's immaturity that says, oh, I want to come and work in the ministry of healing Jesus crusade. Please, I want to be a healing Jesus crusade. Please, I want to work in your office. Oh, okay. Oh, please, I want to add, my friend, You need to be open to all possibilities. When you come into full-time ministry, the next moment, off to Benin. The next moment, off to where? Asankregwa. Next moment, off to where? Nigeria. Next moment, an island. Next moment, whatever. Move back. Go back. Go here. It is maturity. That's why my bishops, the senior most one, if you like, interview any of them. The mature ones. Not all the bishops are mature. They are maturing. Some are more mature. When you talk to the more mature, you see that they have surrendered themselves for everything. Go here. Yes, sir. Go here. Yeah, live your life. Come back here. Go. Yes. We had a wedding yesterday. The bishop there, that's the bishop of the Kodesh. He was working beautifully at the Kodesh. One day I called him, I think, to a Chinese restaurant. I said, come and eat. He thought he was coming to eat a lot of spring rolls. When he sat down, I said, I'm sending you to Nigeria. He said, what? Nigeria? I said, yes, Nigeria. He told me later, he said that the decision to come full time from where he was working at a high place to come full time and the decision to go to Nigeria was 10 times more difficult than to decide that he will be in full time ministry. But he humbled himself and he went. That's why he's where he is today. Yes. When you are mature, you give yourself whatever. When you are not mature, say, when they put you, That's why there's a difference between a married woman and an unmarried woman. Shata Musaka Bayanalaka. Are you still around or you are leaving? You don't like my message, eh? Yeah. A surrender to all possibilities. When you are old. When thou art old, you surrender to all possibilities. Jesus told Peter to be ready for anything. Be ready to be carried anywhere. It will no longer be your will, but God's will. You are not the commander. You are just one of God's workers. One of the reasons why I am in the ministry is because I have no choice in the matter. You think I wouldn't like to have a private life? Happily in my corner. Oh, me, there are certain things I like, you never know. Limited. Yes. Yes. Certain things I like, but that are not practical anymore. You don't know me. You think you know me. You don't know things. God has told me to do it. I just have to do it. I must obey him at all costs. I refuse to listen to the detractors, fault finders, analysts, and commentators who talk about me all the time. I have no time for empty chatter. I prefer to hear my dogs barking in the morning than to listen to hateful accusations. I must continue doing what God has called me to do. Some people love me for what I do and others hate me. I thank God for all of them. But I press on for the mark of the prize of the high calling. I am totally surrendered to fulfilling the call of God on my life. So help me God. Finish. End of book. I wrote it 22 years ago. Amen. Is it beautiful? Yes. I prefer to hear my dogs barking. It's a long time since I said that. Yeah. Sometimes dogs can disturb, you know. But it's something you prefer that to hear nonsense. Accusations. So we are going to serve God as a nation of priests. And many of you are going to be full-time. So this is what you must do. Be faithful. Put out the points there. Be faithful with few things. Amen. Five conditions. See that God is calling you to sacrifice your life. Get Isaac ready. Get him shoes, shorts, everything. Get your knife. Amen. Make sure he goes to school, everything. Get him, you should cut his hair, prepare. Isn't it? Number two, you must show faithfulness in pandemics, in everything, in money, tithes. Number three, learn how to do the ministry work so that your ministry will be big and huge. Huge. So that what? It needs a full-time pastor. It needs a full-time. Many of my pastors in the Caribbean, I keep encouraging them, keep doing the thing to become huge. You see that there's no way I have to be a full-time pastor. And a death to the love for silver. Why would you not want the love of silver? Why would you not want the love of silver? Because of 11 terrible things which are going to come to you when you love money. All right? Temptations, snares, foolish lusts, hateful lusts, drowning. Do you want to drown? Destruction, perdition, the root of all evil, error. Huh? They have pierced themselves. They have erred from the faith. Piercing, sorrows. These are not good things. All connected to liking money. Not even one is good. And finally, surrender for all possibilities. Beautiful. Stand to your feet, everyone. Your life is moving on. You no longer be standing on your veranda waving to people and saying, this is the main house. No. You are moving on to the next place God has destined for your life. Every hand lifted up. Father, thank you. Thank God for your ministry opportunity that he's giving to you. Ministry opportunity. Palama, Torema, Shandala, Matakeligudiste. Pereman brebelis toraman delebere kitanda rama dale baba. Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, yes, oh yes, oh yes. Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. Oh man berino la mano la mani do beri di 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 di. Man beri do le vene de 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 le vene de. Hare men de le mama da la mama do le vene de le vene de le vene de. Membarina milonda vere le vedere le vedere le vedere le vedere le vedere le vedere le vedere. Paramandari mamandara baba. Pray about your ministry. Pray about the next step. All things have fallen into place in your life and your ministry. Parama shidele maramandele de. Mendale kete malanande berenka dalambora. Menende le bandara la badada. Pray about it. 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 Dole ramama nasha dole remena manikabote lili lima mandali mamazo de belebe ketabara lili bede. You are moving on, you are moving on, you are moving on, you are moving on, you are moving on. Mandele ketabano dole bode de shidele mamandari dobele de menebole de bade la labado bede de bane de bane de banana le babanda de baba. Remanda la sute le badaba katale badole mashanda la babanda raba. Everyone, please stand up in your house. Don't make tea, don't move, don't organize contumbre at this time. Just listen to, we are praying for a moment, we are coming to the end of the service. Don't do anything else apart from church. What we are doing, we are about to have communion and other things. Please concentrate for a few minutes on church. We are having church now. Manda Santo Kamala Manari Lamenda Belede Bedode Badali Bodele Badali Babanda Babanda. La Remuga Taliban de Bano Lema Sandali Manele de Bamba Dali Dole de Bedede. Haya Mandole Rimambada Nari Kalibo de Lele Bedede Lele Bedede Bedede. Mamma Lama Rami Dole de Bedede Mandele de Bedede de Bedede. Mendola ma barandele le memora le vere le vene che vare le vedere le vere. Mandala ma dovere le vedere le vere le vere le vedere le vedere le vedere le vedere le vedere le vedere. Haya ma mandari no mele le vene le che vala andare ane le vedere le. Ambala na me ando le vene le che vale le vene dare le momente le vedere le vedere. Ambele de bole le vandare le vene le vandare le vedere le vedere le vedere le vedere. E ma mandale mode scele le memente le vedere le vedere le vedere le vedere. Vera mama dali mole le 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 le. Hari mona le 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 le. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Father, I give you thanks and I give you praise for all that you've done at this time. Thank you for raising up shepherds all over the world. Thank you for making great people out of your church. Thank you that everything is falling into place in our lives and our ministries. Thank you that you are settling us in your will, in your perfect plan and your will for our lives. Thank you that we will not fail. No, no, we will not be discouraged until we have accomplished all that you have destined for us. We give you thanks and we give you praise in Jesus' name. If you are here today, you want to give your life to Jesus. Maybe somebody invited you to this service, but you want to be saved, your name written in the book of life. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. God bless you. If you want to say, Jesus, come into my life, change my life, I will help you to understand God, help me to grow in God. If you are here like that, then I want you to lift your hand wherever you are. And let's all just lift our hands together and let us pray together. Father, thank you for everyone whose hand is lifted up. I pray for salvation. I pray for mercy and for forgiveness for everyone that is here right now, listening and praying. I want you all to say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. Have mercy upon me. Cleanse me from my wickedness. Make me a new person. Please wash away my sins with the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for saving me and washing me with the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for doing a great thing in my life. I love you. I thank you. I praise you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. If you pray this prayer with me and you want to give your life to Jesus, you can see a number right there on the screen. 233, that is a Ghana WhatsApp number. Just text us WhatsApp. No matter what part of the world you are in, it comes in 2 seconds, like the speed of sound. And we are going to call you back. Have we been calling the people back? We've been calling them all the time. We will call you. Maybe no one calls. You've got a phone. You look at it all day long. No call, no WhatsApp. Just take this number and you'll be surprised. Send a message. I'm lonely. I need a friend. I don't have anything. I don't know what I'm doing in the world. I'm very depressed. God wants to help you. If you are depressed also, you can take the number and call. We will call you and we will pray with you. Amen. Lift your hand, every lifting. Jesus, thank you for the blessing for your people today. In the mighty name of Jesus, thank you for touching every life. Oh, makatalhama matalimose pendelimanda ramandole mekepestora man alpakashaki teste. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, thank you for doing a great work in our lives. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for doing great things, doing good things. I love you. I thank you. Touching every life. We bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Now, we're going to receive our communion at this time. I want everybody to get your communion in your house, wherever you are. Get bread, get wine. Get communion, get our bread, get wine. I'm going to pray a special prayer with you.
Take, eat, this is my body, which was broken for you. Drink, this is my blood, which was shed for you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. The cup of blessing which we bless, it's the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break, it's the communion of the body of Christ. Oh, this is the holy meal, the meal of God. Oh, it will sustain you, it will make you whole, it will give you life. When I see the blood, oh,
when I see the blood,
yeah, I will pass over you. Supernatural strength. Oh, Prophet Elijah, take this meal and eat. It will sustain you for 40 days and for 40 nights. That meal was the blessing that Elijah needed. Oh, when I see the blood.
Exodus chapter 16, yeah, verse 4.
I will pass over you.
Exodus 16 and verse 4. Then the Lord said unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain rate. Amen. Every day. Beautiful. That I may prove them. That I may prove them. Amen. Now, whether they will walk in my law. The heavenly bread that is coming, that says our rain bread, was a test. It was another test. You see, as we stand here to hold this, it's a test. Bread doesn't rain from heaven. It was something supernatural. And God said, I will rain bread, and it will be a test for them. Whether they obey me, walk in my law. So now here is this thing. Most Christians don't even know what it is and don't realize that a supernatural test is before us. How can this be the body of Jesus Christ unless it's something supernatural? How? How can it be? It says, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather them at a rate every day, and that I may prove them. So communion is also a test for us in our lives. Whether even we believe the Lord and we believe that there is life in this, is one of the great tests that he has put before us. And I believe that is one of the secrets of the Catholic Church. That's why today, all the pastors in the Catholic Church wear the same uniform. From Alaska to wherever, you will find them. And that's why it's still the most powerful church in the whole world. Yes, very, very powerful. No matter what you say and what you do, the power is too real. The unity is too real. The institution is too real. The wealth is too real. The reality is too real. And you see, this is one of the secrets. It says, I will give them to prove them. It's a supernatural thing. Father, as we come before your throne, this is your body. Let a supernatural element enter our lives. As you prove us, whether we believe or we don't believe, let there be supernatural power entering every life. Healing from our diseases, protection from wickedness, mercies. We receive the body of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, into our bodies, into our lives. The body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus Christ. Now, this is the blood. You cannot stay on this world without a mistake. Is it not true? When Saul was rejected and David came, it's like David was good, isn't it? What David did, most of us will not accept David as a pastor. We would have accepted Saul. Yes. You cannot come to this world without a mistake. Here is the answer to all your mistakes. Father, thank you for the blood. Our mistakes are washed away by the blood of Jesus. Let this be the answer to the accusations, allegations, questions, hatred that is directed at us. Every confusion passes away as we drink this blood. This is your body. This is your blood. It's the answer. Grant us divine escapes from the arrows of the wicked. Let death in a supernatural way pass around our houses and go away. Ade tafara. Every dwelling place, every house is covered by the blood of Jesus. The answer for the sins of the world. May your sins be forgiven and forgotten. I will remember them no more by the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. Lift your hands for your blessing. In your house, lift your hand for your blessing. Bible says God sent Jesus Christ to bless us. Moses, the Lord said to Moses, on this wise you shall bless. May the Lord bless you and may everything fall into place. Whatever has been out of place comes into place from today. May you find an answer to questions that you have not been able to answer. May you find a solution to problems you could not solve. May you find healing for sicknesses you could not resolve. May you find strength where there was no strength. Power where there was no power. May the Lord God come. I see the Lord and his angel walking to you and holding your hand, your right hand. And he takes you up on a path. What mountain was before you that you couldn't climb? I see you climbing with the help of the Lord. I see you going step by step higher and higher and higher to the top of the mountain. There you shall have a view, and the Lord shall show you all things. He shall show you his grace. He shall show you his mercy. And he shall show you his plan for your life. Receive supernatural assistance in your hand. And receive grace to stand at the top of the mountain to see what he has planned and prepared for you. May you stand there where he has projected and determined that you should stand. Whatever prevents you from standing there and climbing up, we curse it. You are climbing up and not down. In the name of Jesus Christ. Be healed. Be blessed in the Holy Communion as you receive life and you receive the blood. May there be nothing else that you need in this life. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want anything that is necessary. May this blessing be imparted to you today and forever. In Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.